Hello, everybody. We're back to the Vox Pop, and I'm sure you're delighted. It is intro number two. I changed the page. Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMZ's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Most of us use the cloud, and we don't even know it. I mean, some of us don't. Do you use Google Drive or iTunes? Maybe you use Dropbox. If so, you definitely use the cloud. This past weekend, nude photos of celebrities like actress Jennifer Lawrence and singer Rihanna were leaked to the public. Hackers alleged that they pulled them from their personal private cloud accounts. So the release of the photos sparked a controversy not only around the invasion of privacy among celebrities, but raised concern over our own cybersecurity. Companies like Apple and Google assure us that the cloud is a safe and secure way to maintain digital files. But is it really? Here to help answer that question are two experts. Tony Yang, who is a great guy and extraordinarily knowledgeable. He started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at the State University of New York at Albany. His company began as a hobby in college and quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony has been managing networks for numerous companies, including this one, and organizations ranging from a few computers to many hundreds. Well, welcome back, Tony Yang.
Thank you, Alan. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. You're a terrific guy. And Raymond Graff, I know that you've been busy all weekend applying yourself yet again to the needs of WAMC. And I very much apologize if in any way I ever find myself picking on you because it's not warranted.
No.
It's just not warranted. It's
nice
not right.
To be here.
It's not right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, so Tony, to start us out, there are two phones ringing already. But to start us out, how can anybody have any assurance these days that anything that they do or say on the internet is secure?
There is no such thing as 100% security. And as unfortunately, we're finding out more and more as these larger sites get hacked and private information leaks out to the world. And that's exactly what just happened to the Apple iCloud this past weekend.
Now, but every day, and Ray, you might want to come in on this one, but every day we learn some other major bank or major company has been hacked.
Home Depot today.
And yet, you read these incredible stories in the papers, and then that's what you hear. You don't hear from a lot of people whose bank accounts have been cleared out or who, you know, I mean, so what is it just that there are, I often think of this as the travails of the wildebeests. Do you ever watch a wildebeest? This looks something like the wildebeest is on the the travel channels, and you see these herds and hundreds of thousands of wildebeests, and then you see one leopard, and the leopard goes after one wildebeest, and I take it that everybody else is sort of safe for the time, the wildebeest. So is that what's happening, or is it just scaring the hell out of everybody? I mean, I don't get that.
Well, you know, I think these hackers out there are more interested in the famous people out there. That way it draws more attention to themselves. More people will look at photos of famous celebrities versus, let's say, myself or Ray.
Yeah.
I probably look at Ray's pictures, though.
You know what?
When you hear these things on the news, they tend to be famous celebrities, famous people out there.
But not the banks.
The banks, we had a problem a few months ago with Internet Explorer, and many, many bank accounts were compromised, as you remember.
Right.
The last time I did this show
with Ray, it was a better interview.
We had an issue there.
Yeah.
It was a different scenario, but still, it was a site that got compromised by hackers, and this happens on a daily basis.
Yeah, but do we know that there's follow up? Do we know that people's bank accounts are getting cleaned out?
Well, there are two things here. The one is the iCloud with the pictures of Kate Upton and everything else. So do we know exactly what happened? There's been some talk that there was a brute force attack that hacked it. And so what is exactly a brute force attack as a way of generating a password?
Okay, so just a quick summary of what happened. The On late last week, a Russian software forum group released about a 50-line code, very simple code, that they named it iBrute. And what that software does is it continuously goes on the Apple iPhone Finder application and keeps trying different user IDs and passwords until it gets in. Now, the reason that that software works is because the Apple did not limit how many attempts you can try before it locks you out.
Uh-huh.
It's got that on every other part of their website except the iPhone, iFinder. So that's where they
So this is the iPhone locator.
That's right, the iPhone locator.
Because I know that if you put the wrong password in your iPhone,
it will lock you out after a time. Yep.
But so this is the specific device which can be turned off, which allows you to find your phone.
That's right.
But the larger question, of course, is I remember when, I'm a simple man, and when people start telling me about the cloud and how safe it was going to be, I said, no, they'll find a way to get into it. And now they have found
a way. That's exactly what
happened. And they will continue to. Even if it's not the iPhone, it'll be something else.
That's right. And you know, so the best thing to do is if you don't want anything to leak out there, keep it at home, disconnect it, because your computer is a part of the cloud.
Yeah, sure.
Want it or not.
Sure. Okay, we got a couple of calls here. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Adrian in New Paltz. Adrian.
Hey, all clouds have rain. I love that comment on the round table this morning.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, I do a small business on my iPhone. I use Google Drive to just file away my invoices. I never really got onto the cloud, but I'm thinking about it because they have an app now called Pages, and that would be the very last task that I have to open my old beat-up laptop to create an invoice, you know, an old-fashioned invoice with my letterhead when somebody wants one. I have to labor through firing up my laptop, and I guess this $10 app is super, and you can create a document on your handheld device. Correct?
I don't know. I use Pages, and I don't remember paying $10 for it.
Well, you know, you're an important guy.
Nah.
See, that's exactly it.
Cut the baloney. Okay, so, all right, so Adrian makes a point, except that I suspect we're on the cloud even when we don't know we're on the cloud.
Right.
Sure.
Adrian,
sure.
You are on the cloud. I mean, if you're using Google Drive, that is about as close to the cloud as you can get.
That is
a part of the worldwide cloud service that Google offers. So your information is out there, but fortunately, Google is safe for the time being. And these guys over at Google are very, very good.
And they have a lot of anti-hackers, right?
They have, I'm sure, hundreds of them monitoring things in real time.
Smart young guys with,
that's right.
Good brain.
Some of the people I would like to have working for me.
How about just to create that document? Every once in a while, somebody wants an invoice. Is there something other than the Pages app from the cloud? Is there another app that I could put on my iPhone just to create simple documents and send to people?
To create, for example, PDF documents?
A simple invoice, yeah. A customer buys something from me, and it's, I work a lot with the military and schools, and they have to have an old-fashioned invoice with my letterhead and my address on it and all that.
What about email? Just email?
Yeah, I mean, you could use any of the word processors out there.
Yeah, but I've got a nice letterhead for my business, and I've got it, as a Word document, and I saved it as a template. And then all I got to do is go in and pull up the template, change the address, my home address, and I don't want to type all that stuff every time I want to.
Well, tough darts.
Yeah.
I mean, tough darts on you.
Time is of the essence. I like to have it all done, boom, boom.
How much essence? Am I being disrespectful here? No. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, Adrian, there's always a price in everything that you do. There are decisions to be made, aren't there? I mean,
I'm sure this Pages thing, but I'm scared of going onto the cloud. I just wanted to ask your expert: is there another product out there similar to Pages?
Okay, fair enough.
Have a cloud thing. That's all.
Fair enough. If I've been disrespectful, I apologize. Go ahead.
Tony. No. Don't worry. You can't. You can't hurt Matt, man. Jeez.
Oh, I think he probably could if he tried. I mean, really.
Right. And tell Ray to get some Bobby Brookmeyer music on.
Hey, okay. You know what? That's a great idea.
Okay, now, but we divert.
Okay,
we
I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead, Tony.
Adrian, if you will send me an email at info@gigsystems.com, I'll get back to you with
info@gigsystems.com.
I will send you a list of apps that you can use. And just for the listeners out there, we have replied to, you guys might not think that we get back to you, but we have replied to every single person that's ever sent in the email from this show, and we've given them answers that are very, very satisfactory.
Well, bless you. Hey, nice. Adrian, Matt Man, we have to let you go because we have to take a compulsory break. We'll be right back.
B-I-G, as in girl. Oh, as in gig.
Gig.com.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
AJ. Okay.
Now, last thing, we're going to come right back and talk to Marv. I guess it's Maeve. And we'll be right back, but we have to take this break.
Support for WAMC comes from Curtis Lumber, working to support their communities through their Pet Connection sponsorship and by providing professional consultations to homeowners and contractors. CurtisLumber.com. Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont. Jim Kunstler presenting A History of the Future, September 4th at 7 p.m. Northshire.com. Dr. Joseph Cohn, optometrist. Eye examinations and classic eyewear in historic Uptown Kingston. Most insurances accepted. Optical diversity in the Hudson Valley. CohenOptometry.com. And Proctors, presenting the 2014-2015 Key Private Bank Broadway series featuring Newsies, Jersey Boys, The Illusionists, Witness the Impossible, Annie, Pippin, and Kiki Boots. Proctors.org for subscriptions and group tickets.
one 800 348 2551. Now, look, folks, it's the Vox Pop. Vox, you know, the voice of the pops, the people. This is your show, and I expect you to do your part. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, I guess it's Maeve. I think it's Maeve. It may not be. Is it Maeve?
Yes, it's Maeve.
Hi, Maeve. Go.
So my understanding is that Google and Dropbox have different privacy policies. That with Google Drive, Google states that they will look inside of your documents to add to their databanks that typically are used to sell to advertisers and things like that. And, you know, I understand that that's supposedly anonymous and there's the wall between your identity and your data. And that Dropbox, on the other hand, will not look inside of your documents. And I was just wondering if that's true.
Tony, before you answer,
yes.
I have my usual for the people question. What's Dropbox again?
Dropbox is a cloud-based file sharing service where you can share files with people across the world and create different versions of a document, for example. It allows you to go anywhere and use your files as you please.
I see. Okay, so the question from Maeve is, are we safer, I take it, Maeve, with Dropbox than with Google?
There is, so both of these services have the kind of the quote-unquote home-based free service versus the commercial account. The commercial accounts, as far as I know, which is what I mostly deal with, there are no such policies that I know of where they read the content of the files that you uploaded. Now, as far as the free version of their services, I imagine there's got to be some type of a marketing trade-off that you have to do to get the service for free.
Yeah.
So I will read the fine lines carefully, and unfortunately, maybe I don't do much on the free service side, so I don't have a definitive answer for you. But I can tell you that if you're paying for it, then it's not a worry for you. They do not do that on their pay services.
So that's fascinating what you're saying. So if I'm following you here, Tony, obviously a lot of us use Google.
Yes.
And we use it because it's free.
Right.
But you can't run a business for free.
That's right.
What you're saying. So therefore, if they're doing data collection and that kind of thing, that's what they get out of this.
That's what they get their billions. I mean, if you have noticed on your browser, for example, if you search for something on Google,
sure.
The next time that you open up your browser and you go to a different page unrelated to Google, but all of a sudden you start seeing these ads next to your to your page
for a long neck, for a long neck banjo
that are that are what you just searched the last time you were on Google, and you're wondering, hey, you know what's going on here? Well, that's exactly what's going on. They tracked it, and now they target the specific ads that you just searched for the last time you were on it.
Can they do, I mean, I know this is a dumb question, but can they do things like, I get this thing almost every day, three times a day from the guitar store. Mm-hmm. Now, I had searched for a long neck Pete Seeger model Vega banjo. Mm-hmm. And so I get this guitar store thing again and again and again. Is it possible?
Is this email?
Yes. Is it possible that that somehow Google is selling addresses of people who have searched for things in a particular area?
Absolutely. That is what targeted advertising is all about.
But the difference is, I don't mind on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. I mind as a direct solicitation on the email.
Well, can I say something?
Why not?
This is my show, right?
Exactly. You're the boxer.
The issue that I have is when advertising is invasive. Right, like just like you said, I don't mind if there is an ad that shows up that I can easily ignore if I want to, but if you know if I'm on Facebook and I'm there to see the pictures of my friend's babies, and instead I'm seeing advertisement after advertisement in my feed, that's when it feels to me like it's too high of a price to pay for the free service.
Well, you know that is so brilliant of you, Maeve, because it is your show, but I have to say, you know, we're on the same page because I'm on Facebook. And because the show shouldn't really become a Facebook show, I suppose. But because I'm on Facebook, and because I want, and because I run WAMC, I'm always afraid to say no to friend people, right? Because they might not give us money.
Sure.
And I don't want to do that because it's so important that we keep the station going.
That's right.
So I say yes to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But now they start bombarding me with stuff I just don't want to see. So I've come up with this new thing that somebody showed me, I think my daughter, which is you go to the picture of the person, you press on it, then it says friends, and then you can unfollow. That means you don't get them, and they don't know you're gone, which I really like.
You can also have a page that people can follow, like your professional page.
I did that. That didn't work. They all got ticked off.
They just don't find you.
They got ticked off because they thought, you know, we did this sort of professionalized thing in which we said, you know, you can get me on my, you know, my fan page. And then basically they said, who do you think you are? So that was the end of that. And everybody ended up landing on my regular page. And then I couldn't see my grandson Noah or, you know, my kids. That was bad. So now I just unfollow them. They don't know I'm gone. How would they know unless I told them on the radio with 10,000 people listening?
Good job, Alan.
Yeah, way to go, Maeve.
So
thank you very much.
Maeve, thanks a lot.
Okay. Have a nice day.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Well, there's lots of lines, and I'm fascinated by something else, and that is the idea that people. I mean, I don't get this business about putting nude pictures of yourself out there, and then resenting it when people are looking at it. Now, somebody called in this morning, left a message, which I thought was quite remarkable, and said, the problem is you people, basically, who want to look at these things, you should respect somebody else's privacy. Right. Nevertheless, we had two people on the roundtable this morning who said they were running to see these pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were interested in, you know, what these pictures might look like. And one person actually said on the roundtable this morning, well, there's nothing there that you don't see in Playboy, you know, all the time. But I think Playboy is noxious. I mean, I think, you know, some of those pictures and those things, not that I've ever looked at them.
No.
Are,
you've heard.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Are awful. And the phones are beginning to ring here, so my vamp is sort of...
Right.
I know that you were moving furniture this weekend, but I wondered if you had anything insightful to say here.
Well, I think what your argument here is that if you don't expect people to see your nude photos, don't put them on the web, or don't put them on a cloud storage, which is what Ricky Gervais tweeted this morning and got in all kinds of trouble with people who said, how dare you blame the victims, Ricky? But he was only making a joke, just as Alan was.
Yes,
I think.
Speaking of him, here he is now.
Ricky Gervais is calling
in. Rick, you're on.
Yes, I want some information, or if you could help me with message vaults. Are they worth passwords vaults? Right, I'm sorry.
Password vaults. Yes, we had several calls on this morning, and Tony Yang. I mean, if you would be good enough to tell us what they are exactly.
The password vaults are devices, typically software devices, that you use to store your passwords, and it gives you an extra layer of protection. Is that what you meant, Rick, when you said password vault?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But are they too, like the rest of it, it's just another layer? They can crack that, too, if they want to.
That's just what I was going to say. You beat me to it.
You know,
sorry, Alan.
If you use online versions of that, which I don't recommend, there's a greater chance of that getting hacked. And now, if you have just a standalone software on your computer that's storing all the passwords for you, then that could work a lot better. I mean, your chances of getting hacked on your personal computer is very, very minimal comparing to what you. What your chances are if you had it out there in the cloud.
And the advantage of those, I think, to some extent, is there's a part of those programs, a lot of them, that will generate passwords for you, and they're usually much more difficult than something your imagination will come up with.
Sure.
Many more random characters and capitals here and special characters there, and they're much, depending on the level of encryption and how long they are.
Do you pay for this?
I have a program I may have paid for a long time ago that I have on my desktop at home that generates and saves all my passwords for me.
But Rick,
go ahead. Yeah, they say these cover my at-home computer, my iPad, my iPhone, all of those things. Is that true?
You can put in there whatever you want.
And would you really count on it saving your TIA CREF account and your bank account with your bank? I mean,
I do online banking, so I guess I'm trusting it now.
Look at it this way, Alan. Oh, go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say, this type of software has been out there for a long, long time. I have historically not recommended any of my clients using it. I don't use it myself. Just for the fact that, you're storing all of your passwords. They say don't leave all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Trust no one.
That's been my practice.
I think you've answered my question.
That's my practice too, Rick. Trust no one.
But Alan, think of it this way.
Yeah.
If in fact you are of the mind where I'm going to keep my Tia Cref or anything else in my head, you're going to have a simple password that Alan can remember that he can plug in.
Really?
Generally, but something that's randomly generated is usually going to be much more robust and less crackable. There'd be less real words involved.
I hear you. Here's an email message to us. Good afternoon. I have only taken Networking 1 at a regional community college, and one of the first security parameters we are taught to put into the network is to limit password attempts to prevent brute force attack. How could a major corporation miss such a simple
security
measure?
A lovely question.
That's scary stuff.
Yes, that is a great question. Like I said, Apple traditionally have done a pretty good job at that, and that is the only part of their website where it's not.
You mean the
phones?
Find My Phone.
That's right, the iPhone Finder application, and that's where they attacked.
Yeah.
So as big as Apple is, they still miss things.
Well, I tell Obama what to do every day. He doesn't do it, and he's got all those people working for him.
Now, Tony, I don't know what you use, whether you use an iPhone or a Droid or whatever, but would you turn on that application? I would never in a million years turn on that application.
You know, I was just going to ask the two of you to let me maybe speak a minute or two on that.
Yeah, sure.
On actually what happened.
Please,
we have
two people on the phone. Maybe we could go there first.
And, okay.
Okay, Ray, is that all right with you?
Hey, go to town.
Okay, let's go to Mike in Hudson. All right, Mike in Hudson, you're on.
All right, hi guys. So I have a more, I don't know, maybe political question about this. I don't know that people are thinking maybe like 10 years down the line, but you have these really complicated algorithms that collect incredible amounts of data, and right now it seems pretty harmless because it's just for, you know, advertising purposes and making money. But let's say someone else, like a government entity or, you know, either domestic or foreign, had access to this, that would be an instantaneous game changer. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, I think we all assume it's happening already.
In fact, Mike, I don't know if you were aware of this. Google bought a home automation company for about $2 billion, I think, if I remember this correctly. Just a couple of months ago, Google, with all that information now, is buying a company that puts automation, cloud-based home automation systems in people's homes. So the, you know, that's just, that kind of gives
mean?
You a,
I have no idea what that means.
So for example, you can buy a device that opens your the blinds at the
okay.
window blinds,
gotcha. Yeah.
Or opens your door, opens your garage door, turn the lights on and
yeah.
off. Google just got into that business. They bought a company for $2 billion to supply cloud-based devices that will operate your home. So not only are they collecting data on the World Wide Web, but it seems like they're very interested in what's behind the door as well.
Right. So your enemies will be able to turn your lights off at any time or open
That's
your garage.
That's what happened last night.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, so Mike, but I don't think you should frame it as only if the government does it. If the government does it, if the mafia does it, if the criminal organizations do it, I mean, the idea that they can come into your bank account is very scary. There's little enough in there now.
It is very scary. And they have, you know, government have really full access to any banking information that they want.
I'm not even talking about government. I'm talking about a crook.
Yes.
Any entity with malicious intent. You know?
Yeah, yeah, that's
right.
Much better.
Yeah,
Mike,
yeah.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Okay. And, something is not quite right.
Oh, you hit the wrong button?
No. You see, this is blinking. I don't know why this is blinking. Let's try it.
Okay,
number three, who are you?
Jim.
Jim and where?
From Ware, Mass.
Where?
From, that's exactly right.
Who's on first? Go ahead, Jim.
All right, so listen, you know, I'm one of the dying breed guys. I grew up before the age of the internet where we enjoyed rotary dial phones, and now I find myself sick and tired of my information being, you know, taken from me for free and sold to other companies, mainly by Google. And my solution to the listeners and to the gentlemen is DuckDuckGo. I mean, that you search anonymously, they don't, you know, and... So that's my comment. I would suggest using DuckDuckGo as opposed to Google. It's just one more separation between the user and the user's information and the collectors of the user's information.
So whoa, Jim, from where? Where? What's DuckDuckGo?
It's an anonymous browser.
What?
Exactly.
So
what does that mean?
A lot of companies offer them. Avast has one built into its internet security package.
Yeah.
You go online. You go online and you type in DuckDuckGo.
Yep.
And what DuckDuckGo is, it allows you to search anonymously. It is as powerful in terms of results as Google. In fact, it utilizes the cloud, but it separates the user from being identified by Google as, you know, using the system, using the cloud to gather information. So, for example, I'm not going to a discount for toothpaste on my web browser from DuckDuckGo, but I certainly will from Google because I just went to a store and bought it.
But how do you know? I mean, how do you know that they're not going to be corrupted?
Well, that's the thing. The thing is that they say on their website that they do not give away your information. In fact, that's their whole credence to collecting individuals to use their search engine because they promise not to give away your information.
First of all, you have to take it on blind faith. Second of all, you have to take that they're telling you the truth.
Okay, this is an awesome topic because there was another search engine company, and your guest might actually know about this, like DuckDuckGo, that was forced. The government came in and said, "We want to know who's using your website." And he said, "Guess what? I'm shutting everything down and going out of business, even though I have, you know, millions of people on my website. Just that's how much this individual cared about preserving the privacy of its users of his website. And DuckDuckGo apparently has that same philosophy.
I'm sorry to give you such a hard time, Jim. But,
not at all.
But when you say apparently has, I mean, apparently has anybody. First of all, we have to worry about them. Then we have to worry about anybody who crashes them.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I suppose you could Google DuckDuckGo and get some information on them. I have done some, layman's, research on them to my extent, and I found they in fact do not give away your information, and they're a fun website. They're easy to access. It loads on all your cell phones, your personal computer, and I'm just a fan of it. It definitely hides your identity.
Wasn't there some kind of kids game, Duck Duck something?
Duck Duck Goose.
Goose.
And now it's time for a break.
I don't think that's what Jim is talking about.
No, we have to take a break.
Yes, we do.
Jim, from where? Right. Where?
You're
see you later.
Where?
Bye.
All right.
Okay, Suzanne, stay right there. We'll be right back with you.
Support for WAMC comes from Dr. Jonathan Sumber, podiatrist, Kingston, a second-generation practice focusing on family foot problems. Laser treatment available, 845-331-0601. Rhinebeck Artist Shops, Rhinebeck and New Paltz, providing professional picture framing, fine art materials for students, professionals, and the public, the Atwater Art Gallery upstairs in Rhinebeck, rhinebeckart.com. Bistro 63 at the Monkey Bar, downtown Amherst, offering casual lunches and dinners featuring steak, seafood, cocktails, and wines using local organic products, banquet facilities, and patio dining. Bistro63.com. And the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting an encore presentation, The Music of Tommy by The Who, presented by Who Are You, Saturday, September 27th at 8 p.m., thelinda.org.
Okay, we are back. Tony Yang, I cut you off a little bit before, and I need you to tell us what you're going to tell us. Take a second or two.
Okay. So what happened with the iPhone iCloud hack was that most of you have seen when you turn on your iPhone or if you get the latest firmware on there or a new iPhone, the first thing it asks you to do is to join the iCloud. Because it's the free online backup service that you can get from Apple that comes with your iPhone. What that software does is it automatically backs up all of your data from your iPhone to Apple's network. So even if you go onto your iPhone and delete certain pictures or certain files off it, there is rumor that Apple still keeps a copy of that on their system. So it's really never gone from it. So my advice to people is if you don't want anything to get out there, do not use the iCloud service, just like what Ray said before. I don't use it.
If you say no when they ask you that question, do you want to use the iCloud, and you say no, which I have done, how do you know that you're really not going to get up there anyway?
Well, on the phone, when there is internet activity on there, you can see the activity bar moving around. Now, you kind of have to have blind faith that Apple is not uploading your information when you tell their software not to upload it. Is it possible that they could be doing something? Yes, but I think you can trust that they're not uploading if you're telling them not to.
Okay. So the rumor is that even though you have deleted something from your phone, it stays there. So kind of disingenuous to say you have 5 gigs free when in fact they save everything you've ever done.
Yeah, I mean that's happens to a lot
what
of the services out there.
Gigs free?
Well, in other words, usually these iClouds.
Slow down when you're talking to me here.
Okay, so the iCloud.
Yeah.
Usually I've never opted in, but usually it's 5 gigs for free or something.
And then you got to pay for more.
Storage.
Gig is a lot.
So, but if what Tony's heard is true, that they save everything anyway, even if you delete it. Then why are they charging us past 5 gigabytes?
Get more money.
That was the Forbes report just this past weekend. Now, you look at services like Snapchat, these places out there, they tell you they keep everything around. They don't delete anything. So it's gone after 10, 15, 60 seconds. It's there.
Yeah. Let's go to Suzanne in Dutchess County. Okay, Suzanne, you're on.
Hi. I just had a couple of points, and then you can pick which one you like. One is that I think that it isn't just malicious that you have to worry about malicious people getting your information. I think one of the mistakes we've all made with this data, and some books have tried to warn us about it, but it's hard to take something seriously when you don't actually see it literally. But I think it's the unintended possibilities of all this data, or the unforeseen results, the way you pass a law for a good reason and seems harmless enough, and then it comes back to be a huge problem for everyone. It turns out you gave away the store, or, you know. And I think that none of us really understood that the people who are going to have access to this data, whether they use it well or not, are going to always be the people with money and power. They're going to have a head start because they're going to be able to have the best systems, the fastest, the newest ways, and whether it's in government or whether it's big corporations, they're usually going to be the ones that are going to be way ahead of any organization that represents individuals. And so any kind of thing, it's just putting the individual, it seems to me, at even a further disadvantage.
Okay, fair enough, Suzanne, but we got a load of calls here. So, Tony, do you want to speak to this?
I do agree. I mean, some of this information out there, they can be used for good purposes, but unfortunately, they fall into the wrong hands lots of times, and that's where we have all these problems with information leaking out there that are not supposed to be out there.
Well, you know, all your new appliances are not going to answer back to you. They're all computerized, but they're feeding information back to the company and to the electric company and everybody else. And it's really not so accessible to you, most of it, but you're supposed to be happy because you have a smart appliance or a smart car. And maybe there are some advantages, but we don't see the whole picture. And we're just making it so easy. I'm not saying that we want to stop this stuff, but we're making it so easy without asking questions and without protesting and so forth. We're just giving this door away.
Well, you're right about that. Suzanne, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Landon in Milford, Pennsylvania. Okay, Landon, you're on. Hello, Landon. In Milford.
Hi, good afternoon. Uh-huh. You guys got me? Sorry, I had a little phone trouble there.
Yeah. Okay,
Okay, great. All right, I had two things. One thing was about the password protection. This is something that I do. I give some advice out. I'm not going to tell you exactly what I do. Of course, that would defeat the purpose. if anybody's familiar with Microsoft Excel, of course, you can password protect your documents.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
You just set up one column for your website names. You set up the next one for your password. And basically what I do sometimes is I literally look around the room and randomly type in letters or items off the shelf, anything. Every month or so, I actually go through and change them. Now, you'd think, how does this guy remember all these crazy
passwords? Exactly.
This is the thing, is I have this document saved on a USB drive.
Yep.
The document itself is password protected, and I have a little system, because if there's a brute force attack on my device, which you said, Mr. Yang, is very rare, but if it were to happen, like a friend or a close person who knows I do this, I have a system. Now, this is just an example. I'm not going to give away my system, but let's just say you have a system where you always add at the beginning of your password the capital letter of the first letter of the website. So if you're going to log into Facebook, whatever your password is, you add a capital F. Does that make sense?
Yes, Linda, that's...
And then this way, nobody knows that because that's in your head. You never write that down.
Yeah.
And that was just one idea. You have all these passwords, and they're saved on a protected document. If it were to get hacked, you still have that backup system. At that point, you can change it if you lose your USB device.
Yeah, that is
a great suggestion,
actually.
I have a number. Well, I don't know. I mean,
you don't know.
And look, you're talking to a 73-year-old. You know, I have I have limited memory to begin with, you know. And I'm sure there are others out there who agree with me. This sounds sort of... difficult.
It is
difficult.
Work.
It is, but when you get used to it, I promise you, especially if you're someone like me who carries their USB device with them everywhere they go. I mean, it's literally in that small pocket in my pants every day. That's one thing.
It's good practice.
Just some advice. And my question
Yeah.
About, I had a question about email and spam. I understand, you know, spam is spam, but if you get emails that have your name in it, for example, I get a lot of spam emails at my work email.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I use it to communicate to customers or vendors, and I'm assuming it must have gotten out through a vendor. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
Basically, I'll get email spam about 3 or 4 a day. The IT department has got on my case, and we understand that it's nothing I could do or nothing I did wrong. It's just that someone solicited my email, and now I get emails, and it's probably from the same source, but it's a different name every time. So, for example, it'll be my name is Landon.
Yeah.
My email, of course, has my name in it, so it'll be like, you know, extend your pleasure with your wife at home tonight. And it's from Landon4907_@something.com.
Yeah.
How are you going to locate that sender and eliminate those emails, especially if they're random and different every day?
Yeah, you can't, Landon.
I didn't think so.
The way to attack that is you scan the content of the email, not the address. And actually, you know, Alan had these issues as well.
I did.
And what we did was we start scanning the contents of emails, eliminated by not by address or sent, you know, not by the sender or the recipient address, but by the content. So that might be something that your IT department will want to look into, is to have a content scanning protection for spam.
Do you have an IT department, Landon?
Yeah, we have a very small one. As a matter of fact, it's starting to look a little silly to me because we're still running Windows XP, and I've already explained the dangers of that.
Yeah,
but we still have not moved to 7 yet, and I'm you know, I can only imagine that that's probably one of the security measures that would have been taken care of.
Yeah. Well, hold on, because if you just hang on long enough, you won't have to switch to 7. You can go to 9 or whatever it's coming next.
Nine.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's
works.
True. Yep.
See,
it's always good to take the one before, because they've worked the kinks out. Yeah. I always hate to take the new operating
system. Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
wait,
like
for
you don't want to go to 8.
Yeah.
Well, so 7 is pretty much the standard in the business world, I would imagine, for a lot of smaller businesses and things. I'm sure that 8 is being used for networking, but I mean, it seems like most of my friends outside of my job are using 7 for their networking, kind of make fun of me that we're using it. I said I had no choice.
Landon, it's great to hear from you. We got
absolutely.
More people.
You got
than,
it. Move
than
along.
Bob and Gary, so we're going to let you go. Thank you very much.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Let's go to Bob, the very Bob I was just talking about.
It's Bob.
Bob.
What
Hi,
about
Bob.
Bob
in Glens Falls. Glen Falls.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Bob is listening on his radio with a 7-second delay. He's going to come running into the phone now. I can hear him huffing and puffing. Bob, are you there? Okay, Bob. Right. You're just about
so
to.
So long, Bob.
You're about to lose it
unless,
all.
Unless Bob's not on that line.
Well,
you sure this isn't to Gary?
Should be number 3,
all
Bob
right.
in Glen Falls. Okay, Bob in Glen Falls, are you there? Now, there are those of you out there who think I'm mispronouncing Glen Falls.
I do.
But I'm not. I'm telling you that years and years ago, a guy applied for a job here, kept referring it to Glen Falls. We kept telling him, no, it's Glens Falls. And then we decided, since we couldn't change his mind, we didn't hire him, but we couldn't change his mind, it would always be Glen Falls from that point on.
Fair enough.
Okay, so thank you from Bob from Glen Falls. And now we'll go to Gary in Schenectady. Gary, you're on.
Okay, thanks very much. Great program, guys. I have a question that's probably a little more fundamental than anything I've heard on here. Alan has started going in this direction a couple of times, but then other things have come up. But here's what I want to know. So we hear that Home Depot was hacked today and so many people's information was taken. It was targeted a while ago. This bank, that bank, the other bank, and so on. Okay, so some celebrities have had their nude photos, you know, hacked as far as that goes. But for everyday people everywhere, how many people? Is it really happening that people are losing their bank accounts,
exactly.
IRA accounts? Are loans being taken out in people's name? Are things, really bad things happening to people? How often? 5 celebrities or 50,000 people? How many people are having real financial problems because of being hacked?
Well, the last year, for example, about... don't hold me to this exact number here. I think it was about 1.7 million people got their data one source or another compromised on the internet. So it is a widespread problem, and that's just in this country.
Okay, but did any bad things happen because of that? I don't care how many people got hacked, how many people lost their bank accounts or had a loan open their name or anything else that is a real financial problem. Does that really happen?
The losing actual money in your bank account is not that widespread. But what does happen is if somebody is able to hijack your online IDs, they can create a world of hurt for your credit worthiness, for example, and that creates, you know, that I think impacts more people than actual loss of money in the banks. I don't know if that answers your question.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a good concrete answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Yep.
Okay. Gary from Glen Falls.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we are, guys. We have a couple of seconds to wrap it all up. Ray, the next question is yours.
The next question is mine. Well, you caught me off guard.
That was the beauty of what I did there. I saw you sort of
drifting,
slumping off
yes.
in your chair.
Yes.
So I said,
"Well, I appreciate you inviting me in. Thank you."
He's thinking about his furniture again.
So I said, "Ray, the next question is yours." Now that was a brilliant move on my part.
Well, it's clear that in the past data breaches, the business store, I forget the name of the company, that
Target.
Was it Target, Staples, or what? Not Staples, but I forget.
Target was the one last
Office Max,
earlier this
year. I forget.
Year.
But there was money lost, but how much of that is insured? I mean, does it affect the consumer or just the company?
The consumer, fortunately, are protected with their credit cards. You are not responsible for just about all the charges.
So that's why people aren't up in arms fairly often, even though it can be a nuisance.
But these larger corporations are losing a lot of money.
So it behooves them to have good state-of-the-art safety and
That's
security
right.
practices.
This is why Target committed them billions into upgrading their system. Mm.
So what should we do, Tony? I mean, that's why you're here today. What exactly should I, Alan Chartok, limited knowledge, don't remember a lot of things, passwords, stuff like that, what should I do?
Okay, so first rule of thumb is don't upload anything onto or into the cloud if you don't want it to be visible to anybody else.
Right.
Because you just don't know.
There's the mic. You got to move closer.
No. I'm just, okay. I can say right.
Okay.
Okay. I was leaning back in my chair like
gotcha.
You do sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I'm really honestly, when your guest Lyndon called in and he has a kind of system in place to keep a track of the passwords, that's good practice.
That's why I said I was 73 years
old. It's a pain.
Because I don't do that stuff.
Yeah. Yep. So you have the advantage of having the rest of us looking out for you, and
unfortunately, I do have Giggle looking out for me.
That's right. You know, and we fortunately have never had a client that got hacked. But for the everyday home user, keep your passwords long and complicated, meaning non-standard characters. You know, pound signs, stars, exclamation marks, things like that. Keep your passwords 8 characters or longer.
So
do not use
not
names.
Say Alan C.
That's not
a good idea.
No. That's, in fact, you should change that right after the program.
I don't have that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So keep your passwords complicated.
You have to know the name of my dead aunt's dead dog.
There you go. That is one way of going at it. But, you know, add characters to it, add numbers to it. That helps.
Don't give out any clues. Seriously.
And also, okay. if your vendor, such as the bank, uses a secondary authentication method, such as texting on your phone to authenticate you on a second layer, use it because that's going to help you.
And they've talked a lot about that second layer.
That's right.
It protects you in so many ways.
What do you mean second layer? I'm so sorry.
Meaning, for example, when Apple got compromised last week, if you had enabled the option to authenticate via SMS, it would have sent you a text message onto your phone to make sure that you got it, and you have to put that password in there to authenticate it as an auxiliary protection. To make sure that you are the person that you're claiming to be.
Microsoft uses this on Xbox.
This
so whenever
very,
I log into
clear.
Xbox, I get a text and then
Not,
have to put in the password.
I have
password.
No idea what you just said.
It's a good way to end the show.
Well, is the show over?
Yes,
yeah,
it's just about over. Tony,
yeah,
great job.
Thank you.
Tony, we love you. We really
thank
do.
You, Adam.
You've been a great help to all of us, and thanks so much for doing it. Introduction number 2, outro. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, here we go.
We're just about out of time. Okay, so I'd like to thank Tony Yang and Ray Graff for joining us today. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscaping since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. Stone Soup Concrete. East Hampton, Massachusetts, specializing in concrete countertops, sinks, bathtubs, furniture, and architectural elements, serving the Pioneer Valley and New England, stonesoupconcrete.com. And She Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953, SHEEHYOpticians.com. The Bee's Knees Cafe at Heather Ridge, Ridge Farm, Preston Hollow, New York. Monthly supper club, five-course dinner, Saturday, September 6th at 7 p.m., 518-239-6234 for reservation. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. You're Greg Graff. You're Tony Yang. So long, everybody.